Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. Before we begin today's interview, I want to let you know about an opportunity to partner with us in bringing the world of biblical counseling together. Each year, the BCC hosts a leadership summit where biblical counseling leaders from around the globe gather to build relationships and to unify and strengthen the biblical counseling movement. Some of our guests and council board members are unable to attend due to financial limitations. This strain is especially acute for our international guests. The month of September, we are trying to raise $10,000 to offset the cost of the summit and to provide scholarships for those who might otherwise not be able to attend. You can help us by contributing to this fund or becoming a fundraiser for the cause. You can find out more by visiting our website, biblicalcc.org, or simply text BCC to 71777. Thank you, and enjoy the show. Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. It's a pleasure to have you with us as we have an opportunity each week to hear interviews of different people doing biblical counseling from around the world. And today is a great opportunity, a great example of that. I have with me Michael Leister, who is the head of the Network of Biblical Soul Care in Germany. There's a German translation or pronunciation of that that is different, but the acronym is still the same, thankfully, NBS. So, Michael, thanks for being here with us.
Hey, it's my privilege. Thank you so much for inviting me for this podcast. And I'm eager to share whatever you want to hear about what's going on in our country.
Well, thank you. Well, before we get to Germany and what's going on in your country, could you introduce everybody to yourself?
Sure. I was raised in a non-Christian home. I got saved during my time when I did my education at university, doing business administration. And this was 25 years ago. Then I joined a local church, obviously, got involved in youth work. And about 20 years ago, the Lord led me and others into a church plant. And to this day, I'm still serving at the same place. It's not a church plant anymore. For Germany, it's a full-grown church, I would say. So I'm one of three pastor elders serving at the church in the heart of Germany, 1 hour east of Frankfurt.
That's great. So serving as a pastor in the church, and then what is the, tell us about the NBS and how did that come into existence?
Well, the NBS, in German, it's called Netzwerk Biblische Seelsorge, but truly it is the very same thing, Network Biblical Counseling or Network for Biblical Soul Care. We even don't use the word counseling. From the very beginning, it was always the word soul care. It was you guys who just make a merge now from counseling to soul care in some area. We always had soul care. Well, the network started about 4 years ago by a few men who got together who were already involved and interested in biblical counseling. One is Michael Martens. And technically, by the way, he is our CEO or president for the German NBS. Or German-Swiss NBS, I have to say. All the German-speaking countries in Germany, that's our goal, to network with those countries. Michael Martens and Christian Andresen, who is the director for the European Bible Training Center, and later on myself, we got together and thought about this idea of starting a network. And there were others, from one pastor from Switzerland who joined us, and now it's about almost a dozen pastors and people who are really involved in biblical counseling. And very thankfully, from the very beginning, from different backgrounds, church background, so to speak, but also education. Like Michael Martens, he got his education at CCEF, Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. Christian and I, we got our education from Masters University on the West Coast. And others had other places where they got trained. And also different churches are represented from the very beginning in the network. So that was an asset, I would say, from the very beginning.
That's great. Yeah, that's a real, obviously that sings with the heart of the Biblical Counseling Coalition of seeing people from different organizations, different backgrounds, working together. So what it started up and and you're working together as a network, what's the hope and what are you seeking to accomplish with that network of Biblical Soul Care?
Maybe you have to understand a little bit the background of Germany when it comes to Biblical Soul Care. Yes, we are the country of Reformation, but yeah, of the Reformation, which is the 500th anniversary this year. So this can still come the famous places. But it's not only the country of the Reformation, it's also the country of higher criticism. Mm-hmm. And Sigmund Freud was also from our area. So that really had a devastating impact on the church in general, when it not only comes to biblical counseling, but also when it comes to biblical counseling. So in a sense, the Reformation of the gospel was in Germany, but the Reformation for biblical counseling was truly in the United States, as you know, J. Adams and others who followed him. And so in a sense, the U.S. is 40 years in front of us. Hmm. When it comes to biblical counseling. That doesn't mean that there has never been biblical counseling in our country. Obviously, that's not true. There have been times which are much different than today. And there has been at least also one German fellow, Roland Antholzer, who has been very faithful and doing almost a similar kind of fight like J. Adams did years ago. And we are thankful that Roland, who is still alive, still with us, he'll most likely also be a part of the Network for Biblical Counseling in a few days from now, because we'll have another meeting with him on Thursday this week. And we're very glad that also those old folks, so to speak, who have been doing biblical counseling or striving for biblical counseling long before we've been born in our country. So what our hope is, similar to the BCC, in one sense, to network. But since there's so little to network with, really, our goal is even more foundational in really helping churches see what they are lacking if they don't do the practical work, the personal ministry of the word, if they just, you know, are single-sided in the public ministry of the word. That's why we, from the very beginning, started doing conferences. We had our first conference, I think, in 2014. Let me look that up with Ed Welch. And then we had the next one in 2015 with Heath Lambert, 2016 with Garrett Higby. So you can see we really fly in your tailwind by being able to invite all those great teachers. But yeah, we really want to do groundwork, like conferences, teaching, maybe also doing seminars.
That's good. Yeah, you shared, you were in on the executive director call we had last week, and you had shared that this year is your first conference without an American speaker, or maybe it's next year, and that you're kind of either growing up and maturing or rebelling against your, or maybe that was Steve Midgley. Sorry, that might have been Steve.
Yeah, we'll have our first conference next year where we still have good teachers from the U.S., like Heath Lambert again, but also Charles Hodges and Dan Wicker. But all the breakout sessions, or most of the breakout sessions, will be done by Germans. So
That's good. That's good. I have to get that call straight in my head sometimes. So that's fantastic. So you're networking together, you're building up the church through conferences and really helping people understand what the role of the church is to have the private ministry of the word. How would you describe the current state of the church in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, of course, when we talk about church, we are really talking about believers, because the majority of Christians are nominal Christians in my country. Only 1.5 to 2% of the population is counted as born again or evangelical or believing church. And in this camp of believers, I would say the picture is pretty diverse. Yes, there are integrationalists who don't really rely on the sufficiency of scripture for or the non-material part, that's how we refer to it, of the human setup or the human soul. And yes, there are also people who I would say that a big number of people in the church in Germany, they mean well, but they just don't know what they're lacking because they have been raised already in this climate of psychology, referring, not really trusting the Word of God for everyday problems. So we believe there is a great potential among the believers who are well-meaning to restore them, to really reform them. We are not inventing anything new. We just try to really bring them back to the Word of God and its power for everyday problems and a life pleasing to all men.
You mentioned the Germany not just being the birthplace of the Reformation, but also of higher criticism, and you mentioned Freud. Especially with the attack of higher criticism on the very nature of Scripture, how do you think that has interplayed with the idea of biblical soul care in the church?
Mm-hmm. Again, I would distinguish between the big mainline state churches, the Protestant church, the Roman Catholic church on one hand side, and the evangelicals on the other side. Yes, you're absolutely right. When you look at the state church, higher criticism is also responsible for building a distrust in the Word of God, in being critical in its potential and its efficiency, highly critical. And therefore, to my knowledge, even though there have been biblical counselors, even in those camps of the state church, today, they would laugh at you, actually, if you believe that the Word of God can really help people with more serious problems like depression or anger or other things we face continuously or regularly in the counseling room. But when you look at the believing wing of the church, so to speak, the born-again Christians in my country, I would describe most of them, yes, there is that integrational camp, but many of them, they have a high value for the Word of God. They are well-meaning, but the art of counseling has been lost more than 100 years ago. The culture of really using the Word of God, not just for preaching and Bible study, but also for really helping each other on a daily basis. This culture is in many ways not existent anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's a great task. On one hand side, we can drink like from a fire hose, getting all the good material and from the States and all the stuff you have plowed through already. But then on the other side, there is that really culture which is missing in the church, mm-hmm. Of practical theology. Big formal theology, very little functional theology, many churches. And that is not that easy. You can fill that gap just by good books or even good conferences or good teachers. So that's really a prayer request and something we are working, dealing with in Germany.
So what are, and maybe this is related to that, not just the culture of the church, but the culture in Germany obviously is different than the culture in the States or other places. What are some of the challenges that you face when it comes to biblical soul care, particular to your culture?
Good question. A few years ago, we met Bob Kellerman, and very thankful for him and his ministry, because the way he was instrumental in building the BCC, he was also very instrumental in connecting the BCC with the German wing, so to speak, the Network for Biblical Counseling. And he was about to write a book on cultural differences between in the field of biblical counseling between the countries or continents. And my first reaction actually back then when he asked me about my opinion was, what are you talking about? You know, anthropology, biblical anthropology is the same all over the world. So why are you writing a book on that? But then later I really found out and had to learn, yes, there are cultural differences, obviously. And they play a role, I would say, really more on the surface level, on the maybe what comes out, the behavior level. Yes, that plays a role. But when you really go deeper then to the heart level, the problems, the sin and suffering problems are the same anywhere in the world. And to still answer your question, I don't believe that the cultural difference between the U.S., it's a Western culture, is too big from the German. Just to give you one example, Americans, and we might talk about that because it's an important topic for us Germans. Americans, when they do counseling, in many counseling centers I have been introduced to, they have observers. So there's a third person in the counseling group. Mm-hmm. When we talked about having observers in the counseling room here in Germany, most of the people reacted like impossible. You know, a German would never open up, it's hard to even open up your heart before another person, but having a third person in the room, that would kind of be a no-go. That was the impression most people gave. But you know what? We tried it in our church, which is 20-some years old, and it works perfectly because it is more a matter of, is that observer also trustworthy? Mm. Is he a counselor according to Romans 15:14, full of grace and full of knowledge? And then it worked as much as it works in the States right now.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think it does, like you said, there is a two sides of that coin of culture. Like you said, anthropologically, humanly speaking, we were all the same. 1 Corinthians 10:13 wouldn't be true if that wasn't the case. But also, there are unique things to culture, but like you said, oftentimes those are surface related. But it's always interesting to me to hear, and sometimes it's hard, I think, to self-assess your culture because it's, you know, especially if you've just lived there your whole time, you don't know what's an element of your culture because it's like a fish trying to describe water, right? They're just in it. They don't know anything different. So that can be a challenge too. But I remember from the Global Summit, I remember especially the interchange between Steve Midgley in the UK and Sasha in Brazil, having the opposite problems. One, people being really closed off and formal in the UK and not opening up. And Sasha said, you can't get people to stop talking in Brazil, but they're not talking about the significant things. So it's always fascinating to me to see what cultures, different cultures, the problems that they face. What do you think maybe are some of the challenges, maybe not culturally, but some of the challenges the biblical counseling movement in Germany are facing?
Well, in a sense, we touched on that already a little bit. One thing we really profit from you guys in the U.S., since you are, as I said, basically 40 years ahead of us, we profit from the very good books and material which is out there. We have 1, 2, or 3 publishing houses who have translated almost all the good resources you need. In the counseling room or for the counselor and also to help counselees. So there's a lot of good material already in the German language available. And also when it comes to teaching, we are thankful that we were able to, or let me refer to Roland Antholzer first. He has been doing counseling seminars for many decades, has trained quite a few counselors in the country. Almost 8 years ago now, we were able to start a counseling course at the EBTC, European Bible Training Center. So today we have more than 60 or 70 students in a 2-year program in 3 different locations in Berlin, close to Cologne and Zurich. There's another group called Coram Deo, also very good teaching. Some who listen to this podcast or view this podcast might be familiar with OIC, Overseas Instruction and Counseling. They also do a seminar in the north of Germany. So those are all factors which are a great help because you really had to work from the ground, and we can implement that pretty fast, you know, translating the books, doing the training. But what you cannot just do by having good books or doing the training is the expertise or the experience, the watching good counseling or having the culture of good counseling or having churches where you can go to and see it being done, you know, by wise and seasoned counselors. This is really a growth process. This can't be accelerated so easily like translating books or bringing into training. And also during our executive meeting, we were talking about this. This is something we really focus on now by one idea, sending over interns to your country to just see how counseling is being done in the church context, for instance, but also really the real counseling and the observing real life counseling in the counseling room. So we are thankful for quite some opportunities we found out now we can send people over. Another avenue we want to go is we really want to pray and work for 1, 2, 3 pillar churches, like model churches, where interns in Germany could come to and learn how biblical counseling is being done. But this transfer of expertise, this is probably, in our opinion, one of the greatest needs right now, besides the material and training, which is almost in place already.
Yeah, I think that's a great insight, one, to be able to reflect and see that need in your country, but also to think of where can we get that need met. And it's almost like what we call a foreign exchange student. We have in high schools and colleges around our country will have students swap places from different countries. And so I think it's a great, great thing. And I think we need to continue to develop that. You mentioned that call and we've talked about some internship opportunities since then. But if we were to kind of brainstorm together, and I'd like to put out an invitation to people, anybody who's listening, to think through, would you be willing to invite somebody from another country, Germany or some other place, that wanted to get experience watching you counsel, co-counseling, maybe getting some mentorship counseling? What might that look like? What are some elements that would entail, Mike, from length of time to how much that's involved? Have you come across any good brainstorming ideas with that?
Sure. Well, first of all, not that we want to be exclusive in Germany, but I really would recommend any institution in the States to work with folks from the network of biblical counseling in Germany, because this way we would make sure that we only recommend or send over people who have been trained already in biblical counseling at one of the reliable places, so they don't come absolutely inexperienced, that they can really benefit best from the good counseling they get be exposed to in the States. And for sure, I mean, we firmly believe in the centrality of the local church, so obviously they need to be men and women who are faithful in their local churches, and we would, when we invite people for our training, we always look for people like that. But if you offer your opportunities to other countries like us in Germany, I would say it would be beneficial if people go there, not necessarily for a very long time. It doesn't need to be years. Mm-hmm. What is more crucial is that in the time they go, during the time they'll be in the States, that they get to be exposed to biblical counseling as much as possible. That is key. It would not be very helpful to send them to an institution where they just do the teaching, even though it might be very good teaching, but that's what we can almost do ourselves, I would say. Yeah. But really invite them to places, to churches. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to give you some ideas or names, but I know from Lafayette, you know, Faith Church, who do an excellent ministry and offer those type of internships, as far as I know. Or another idea, 12 Stones, 12 Stone Ministries, because at this ministry, you can get exposed to real-life counseling in a very short amount of time. Yeah. So that would be key, get them exposed really to counseling and to counselors. Best would be if they could live in the home of a biblical counselor during that time. So, because there's not only the official time in the counseling room, you know better than me that a lot of discipleship takes place, you know, during around the table at dinner also. Mm-hmm. So that would be great if they could live with counselors or pastors, see how counseling is done in the context of a local church, and also see it happen. You don't have to have them as counselors. If you don't trust them, that's fine. If they can just at least observe and dialogue, that would be a great, great help for them.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. When you brought it up at the on the executive director call, I just started churning ideas and thought, man, this is a great concept that we should incorporate as well. If institutions are doing training, hopefully they have some element of internship mentoring as part of the program. But if they don't, it's something they should include. So just as an invitation to anybody, if you're a biblical counselor or you work in a biblical counseling center or a church that has biblical counseling ministry, if you'd be up for that, contact us at the BCC and we can try to open up some more opportunities for people from Germany and from the network of Biblical Soul Care to come over and get some more life experience in biblical counseling. So Mike, what are some of the things that you guys do well in Germany in regard to biblical soul care that we might, people in the States and other countries might benefit from, learn from you?
Well, that's a difficult question. for many reasons, it's a difficult question, but a very obvious reason, you are really ahead, you know, in the sense that yes, biblical counseling has always been around, obviously, and, mm-hmm. and you lost it as we lost it for some decades or even centuries, but then you picked it up much earlier than we did. And this is a great asset for the United States. And that is in a sense unique. The only thing I can think of is, our weakness is also an asset. What I mean by that is, we don't have as many presidents as you guys have in the United States. I'm not talking about your political president. I'm talking about all the many ministries you have and all the many presidents in your country, all those biblical counseling ministries.
Yeah.
I mean, you know better than me, this was one of the reasons why the BCC was so needed. And we were so thankful that this came into being. And I hope that all those presidents there in the States still see the value of having one umbrella where they can agree on and meet under and have one face or one, you know, one... I'm missing the English word, outlet. One way they represent each other. Hmm. So this is actually really an asset. You know, when we started the NBS, we didn't have to bring together all those presidents and different ministries and stuff. There was nothing to bring together, really. Not much, so to speak. And you can pray that we still stay that way, kind of, you know, hmm. Yeah. Stay in that area where we know that we don't know much, that we are absolutely dependent on our Lord here on this side of the pond as you are on your side of the pond. There is a good spirit of humility and willingness and eagerness to learn. That is really an asset, so to speak.
That's good. That's a good word. I mean, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church in Philippi, you know, says, if you want to make my joy complete, right, have this among you, humility that is exemplified most of all in Christ. And Philippians chapter 2 is all about that. But it's about the unity of the church, which is built on the humility, the heart of Christ. So, and yeah, that's what the BCC was created for, is to bring that unity in the biblical counseling movement. And so, thanks for that testimony. We will keep praying for you in Germany that holds true. Any other particular prayer requests we can be lifting up for the network of biblical soul care in Germany?
Yeah, besides what we already mentioned, you know, pray for growing expertise, for groundwater, for culture, for a lot of transfer of that expertise through internships. pray for the next conference if you want. We will do our conference together with ACBC. It will be an ACBC International Conference and the NBS Conference in once. Next year in May in a place close to Frankfurt. If you want to look up details, just go on our website called, now it's a German title, biblischeseelsorge.org. But you benefit most from the conference anyways if you are bilingual. But you can be just English speaking, because Keith Lambert, Dan Wicker, Charles Hodges will do a great service, we trust. So pray for that conference. Pray for, yeah, for us young guys who try to really build up this network. Or it's not for building the network. That's not an end of itself, a goal in and of itself. It is really to help the German church to see what kind of abundance they actually have in the Word of God. As we said in the beginning, not just to do good sermons and good Bible studies, but really to help each other living a life pleasing to the Lord on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's so true. And we will definitely be praying for that. and I'll get the spelling of your website and put it on our video, and maybe we'll link it to our posting on our website, so that people, whether you're bilingual or not, you can visit the website and see what they're doing there and maybe learn a little bit of German. Well, Mike, the last 2 minutes of every podcast I reserve for a segment called 2 Minute Favorites. So we're going to take 2 minutes and ask you a bunch of questions about things that you like. Are you ready for that?
I try my best.
All right. So let me start the timer here. And what is your favorite food?
Rice.
All right. What is your favorite candy?
Oh, anything with nuts.
All right. Favorite gift you've ever received?
You can see it, actually. You see that picture here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. One of my classes in Switzerland, the class, they gave me that picture. It's a Monet. Claude Monet? It's a Monet they gave me last year. Maybe it's not an original, but it's a Monet.
If it's an original Monet, I would have a good lock on your door. What's the favorite gift you've ever given?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maybe it sounds too spiritual, but when the Lord uses you to give people the truth, the Word of God, especially the gospel, that is the greatest gift He has given me, which I can pass on.
Amen. What's your favorite word?
Word? Grace.
What's your least favorite word?
Selfishness.
What is your favorite book of the Bible?
Genesis and Romans.
All right. What's your favorite book outside of Scripture?
Oh, it's a book for kids. You don't know, because it's only available in German.
What is your favorite color?
Blue.
What's your favorite sport?
Running.
What's your favorite sports team?
Bayern München, obviously. Soccer.
What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Cinnamon.
If you were to have one superpower, what superpower would you want?
Ooh, flying.
What is your favorite quote?
My favorite quote from the Bible or anything?
Anything.
Oh, my favorite quote is, our reason wasn't given to us to judge the Word of God or the revelation of the Word of God, but our reason was given to us to receive the Word of God. We are not to be judges above the Word of God. We are recipients of His revelation.
All right. Well, that ends our time. That's a great, great quote to end on. So, Mike, thanks so much for your time today, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Hey, thank you so much for your time and for your work. You're doing so well in the States.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter @BiblicalCC or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/biblicalcounselingcoalition. Thanks again for listening.